But the Adams here, in spite of hysteria, it flourishes in Utah as well as Siberia. And whether you're a black, white, red, or brown, the question is this when you boil it down. To be or not to be, that's the question. The answer to it all ain't military Adam, like who gets there firstest with the mostest Adams. No, the people of the world must decide their fate. They gotta get together or disintegrate. I hold this truth to be self-evident that all men may be cremated equal.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining me now is Arjun Makhijani, who is the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He holds a PhD in engineering, specializing in nuclear fusion from the University of California at Berkeley, and has spent the last decades working to promote an economy based on completely renewable energy. His books include Nuclear Wastelands, Mending the Ozone Hole, and most recently, Carbon Free and Nuclear Free, a Roadmap for U.S. Energy Policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Arjun Makhijani.
Thank you, Ian.
And on Monday, the embattled chairman of the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Gregory Jasko, stepped down. The industry have been trying to fire him from the day one, since he got there 3 years ago. What was it about this fellow that they didn't like?
Well, Dr. Jasko is a regulator, you know, and there is a kind of a knee-jerk, anti-regulatory, ideological bent in much of industry here. Not all, but much. And I think, actually, the nuclear industry, like all other industries where you can have serious accidents and safety issues and public well-being issues, needs regulators, needs to ensure safety. Now, it's well known that I'm not a fan of nuclear energy, but I'm also a realist. I know we have 104 reactors, and that while they're operating, I really want them to be overseen carefully. And I particularly want people over there who are going to be awake to what we should be doing so we don't have an accident like Fukushima.
Well, apparently the two commissioners on the NRC, two Democrats and two Republicans, sent a letter to the White House last fall expressing grave concerns about Jasko's actions, which they say was causing serious damage. But his actions were in response to what happened at Fukushima. So what is it about? What are the other commissioners on the NRC, what are they complaining about in terms of Jasko's actions?
Well, I think their formal complaints were about personal manner and behavior and so on. And I'm not privy to that. All I know that Dr. Jasko was, and continues to be, because he's still in office until replaced, a good regulator. I don't agree with everything that he voted for, certainly, but I know that post-Fukushima, he appointed a team of senior staff people to give him a review. He made sure that they'd stay independent and that no one would interfere with them. They turned in a pretty good report. I didn't agree with everything in it. I especially didn't agree that there was something that shouldn't need to be there that weren't there. But what was there was sound and worth doing. Some of the other commissioners at least seem more reluctant to implement these things rapidly. They have given licenses to two new nuclear power plants, four reactors in all, in South Carolina and Georgia. And he dissented from both those decisions, not because he wouldn't approve new reactors, but he said, we have to make sure that post-Fukushima changes are going to be made, and the right time to ensure that is when you give the license. And I think that was a very bold and courageous stand, and obviously, you know, the industry wants to press ahead regardless, and I think that's a very rash thing to do, even for them.
Well, apparently Jasko was the lone dissenting voice on the five-member NRC panel.
Yes.
And he voted against, and recently he voted against the approval of the first nuclear power plant built in the U.S. in more than 30 years. That's the one down in Georgia,
right,
by the Southern Company. And it sounds like he was one of the only kind of advocates for the public. The other commissioners seem to be pretty much in the industry's pocket.
Well, you know, I think he was an advocate for safety. It's not that he hasn't voted for nuclear licenses. He has, but I think in this particular post Fukushima situation, the reason for his dissent is very sound, to make sure that all the changes that are going to be needed in light of Fukushima are required at the time of licensing. Once you have, you know, a few billion dollars invested and you require, say, a seismic upgrade that's going to cost you a couple of billion dollars, it's much more difficult to order a company to go back and incur that kind of expense. And the political pressures are much, much greater. And we know seismic backfits can cost a great deal. They did in California, not far from where you are, at Diablo Canyon in the 1970s and 80s.
Well, we also have south of us San Onofre, which nobody quite knows what's happened there. They put in new generators, and apparently they stuck in more steam pipes than they'd originally had the design called for in order to increase the output, and then they have suffered serious vibrations and leakage of radioactive water, and they've shut them down. A lot of pressure to turn the thing back on again. They've had to fire up a couple of retired gas plants because of the summer demand. But the long and the short of it is, it doesn't sound like they know what they're doing down at San Onofre. They can't literally find an explanation for the rapid deterioration of these steam pipes.
Well, I think they're also, Dr. Yasko made a very sound statement early on where there were some noises and rumors that the company was about to restart the plant or part of the plant and so on. He issued a statement saying that we're going to get to the bottom of this and the plants will not be restarted till we get to the bottom of it. And I think that direction to San Onofre was very appropriate and healthy. And I'm very glad that Southern California Edison has to pay attention to that and can't restart until they do get to the bottom of it. Because, you know, steam generators are the piece of equipment that carry away the heat that is generated in the nuclear reaction, and a failure of that, of course, means you have to shut down the reactor in an emergency, and presumably you can do it, but then, you know, you're entering the zone where risks increase of accidents, and you don't want steam generators to fail on you catastrophically while you're operating.
Again, I'm speaking with Arshan Makhanjani, who's the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, and his latest book is Carbon-Free and Nuclear-Free, a Roadmap for U.S. Energy Policy. But, you know, Yasko has come under fire from Darrell Issa, who's the House chairman of a number of committees. He's kind of on this kind of jihad against the Democrats and looking for reasons to go after them. But he's also was apparently had Yasko in his sights, as of course did Senator James Imhoff of Oklahoma, the global warming denier. He was out to get him. So it looks like I don't know. In the case, do you think his stance on San Onofre put him in trouble?
I don't know. I have not heard that. I have not. I think actually, at least one of the Republican congressmen from Southern California have said that perhaps San Onofre ought not to operate beyond its license lifetime of 2022. I might be wrong about that, but I think, you know, we're a nonpartisan institute, and I think, you know, support for nuclear power is pretty bipartisan. Actually, Dr. Yasko was appointed by George W. Bush to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and he was promoted to, under President Obama to be chairman. Now,
Recommended by Harry Reid, who he used to work for, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But President Obama's appointments to the commission have voted for these new reactors. So it's not, I don't think the voting pattern on the commission is partisan. I think there's a kind of an anti-regulatory idea. Perhaps, I think on that regard, certainly more on the Republican side than on the Democratic side, I think it'd be fair to say, although not totally. But I think this anti-regulatory idea that regulations are bad, oversight, that tough oversight is bad, actually, I think the period of tough oversight after 1979, after the Three Mile Island accident, is the foundation of the safety record of the U.S. industry. And I think laxness, you know, movement in the direction of being more lax in the last 15 years, in my opinion, is not a healthy thing for the industry. I would like to see nuclear power phased out, but I certainly want things to be safe. I share that goal with a lot of people who may support nuclear power. So I think Yasko was a very healthy thing for the nuclear industry, and I'm very sorry to see that he stepped down.
Well, just in closing, though, Arjun Makhachani, what the other commissioners are saying about him and what his critics are saying is that, and including Dale Klein, who's one of the Republican-appointed commissioners, he's saying that because Yasko was always, they've had so many 4-1 votes, with Yasko voting against the four of them, that meant there was something wrong with his leadership. What I'm concerned about is that Yasko was the only guy there that was voting for safety and in the public interest.
Yeah, on technical things, you know, majority isn't always right. It's not also so that minority is right. You know, minority is not pure by the virtue of being a minority. You have to look at the merits of the situation. And on the merits of the situation, when Chairman Yasko dissented, as he did in the case of Vogtle, these new nuclear power plants in Georgia and South Carolina that have been authorized recently, I think he did so out of the kind of prudence we need from a good regulator. I think the same is true in relation to San Onofre. You don't want a utility that has been upbraided for not having adequate operations in its nuclear in the nuclear sphere in the past to be starting up a reactor that has serious problems in essential equipment without knowing what caused those problems, especially as the equipment is new, and you know, and the problems have occurred in both reactors, not just one.
Well, Arjun Makhachani, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you very much, Ian, for asking.
Again, I've been speaking with Arjun Makhachani, who is the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. He holds a PhD in engineering, specializing in nuclear fusion from the University of California at Berkeley, and he has spent the last decades working to promote an economy based on completely renewable energy. His books include Nuclear Wastelands, Mending the Ozone Hole, and most recently, Carbon-Free and Nuclear-Free, a Roadmap for U.S. Energy Policy. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Christina Trutanich. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.